All right. Well, welcome to this week's game chat, guys. Where this week we're talking about, well, we're continuing our talk on Telltale's The Walking Dead Season 2. This week we're discussing Episode 4, Amid the Ruins is the name of the episode. Yeah, so, I mean, just to give a quick intro for who's here, you want to start from the top here in the Discord thing, Franco? Uh-oh.
Who's that, Kevin?
Yeah. Well, Kevin just signed off, but he's here.
Oh,
well,
he's
Kevin's
back.
Okay, Franco, you want to give a quick intro?
Hello, this is Franco.
It's Madeline.
Kevin.
Chris.
And Stephanie. Great. Okay, let's just get rolling right into this. So we kind of ended last week on a cliffhanger. You were amidst a zombie attack. Or you were trying to wade through zombies. That's what it was. You were trying to wade through this herd of zombies. Everyone had spread zombie guts all over themselves to help avoid detection and just be able to just walk on through. That was Jane's suggestion. And it seemed to work, but our group is kind of mavericks. They're all mavericks. And they all just kind of, like, stuff happened. Someone was pulled down, people cried, people died. And so it ended with, like, you know, Sarah, you know, Carlos was taken down, the doctor, Sarah, we don't know. And it was left with, gosh, dang it. Kenny's wife, what is her name? Or his girlfriend?
Sarita.
So the episode ended with Sarita's being bitten by a zombie on her forearm, and so you have the choice to either, and there goes Stanton riding off on his motorcycle. So you have the choice of either the zombie, like, or you have a choice of either killing the zombie or a lot of sounds going on tonight, man, or killing the zombie or cutting off Sarita's arm, like at the elbow, or I think it's more kind of like halfway.
It's at
up.
The wrist.
At the wrist? I don't think it's at the
wrist. More, well, not at the wrist, more of like at the halfway
up. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then some of us, I think, like, what, did we all cut off our arm? I think we all cut off our arm, right?
Yeah, I did.
I did.
Yeah, yeah. And so, to the beginning of this, you're left, you know, it starts in with like a scream from Sarita as she's staring at her arm in horror. But it doesn't really matter because I think she's taken down pretty quickly.
yeah, she gets
like, bit. Yeah, like the zombies just keep attacking her. I think like Kenny's able to like say bye to her, or so, you know, I mean, he like she's okay for a few minutes. We're able to pull her away from the zombies, but she leaves. She dies. Yeah, and so then Kenny's not the best. Kenny's very upset.
Yeah, that kind of axed his wife.
right. And I think like he knows what you did. He knows like that you're the one that did it, that Clementine's the one that did it, and you know, kind of blames her. Immediately, but we're trying to get away from the zombies still. So, I mean, did you guys? Yes, yeah. So, I mean, this went just about as well as I would ever expect. You lose sight of Luke and lose sight
Sarah.
Of Luke and well, who?
Luke and Nick run after Sarah.
Yeah. Yes, Luke and Nick run after Sarah. You're kind of, Kenny's still, I don't know what Kenny does at that time.
He doesn't want to leave Sarita.
Yeah, he's just kind of like manning it by himself. You're staying with Rebecca, or you have the option, I guess, I think probably, it's probably real worded that you have to stay with Rebecca no matter if you choose to or not.
Yes.
And you run into Jane. She's, Rebecca is definitely freaked out. She's having some, I think she's having some issues, some kind of pains, stomach pains at that time. Cramps or something. Or maybe she's just hyperventilating.
We call those contractions.
She's having baby pains.
Well, baby pains, but she doesn't have a baby for a bit, so it's not, you know, contractions. Jane at first doesn't want to help you. She's just kind of like, just split up, just go. I don't know, like, I know it gave you the option if you could split up, or like, you know, we should, like Clementine saying we should split up, or that you'll stay with Rebecca. Did anyone think that they should have split up or that they should have stayed together?
We stuck together and formed the train.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't remember what I...
Yeah, I can't remember.
I think I said Rebecca, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah, stay with Rebecca. And then Jane eventually kind of looks back and comes back to help you because she sees that Rebecca's not in her best form. I think from there you kind of get out of, and you guys kind of, you get out from the zombies. You start walking, to try and find some people and kind of just trying to get away from the zombie herd.
Yeah,
and
you're basically kind of going to the meetup place.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, the statue.
Yes.
Monument. You have a nice little chat with Jane and Rebecca.
Well, apparently there was a dry cleaners on the way.
There was on the way?
Don't know why. Oh, like, they convenially get rid of all of their blood. Like, I can understand the face, but not the clothes.
No, the clothes were slightly soiled. They were more soiled than what they were in the, you know, before they had to go through the horde.
That's true. That's some, like, yeah, I just that was the
realized all, that. All during that ending, I'm like, boy, they're a mess. They're going to have to find a river or a creek somewhere and get all that crap off their clothes. And then la, 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 walking through the forest, it's all gone.
Yeah, they're all fine. Yeah, I'm looking at screenshots and it's like it never even happened. The zombie herd never even happened.
Funny.
Jane's kind of being her Jane self as you're walking. You finally come upon, and there's not that much. Sorry, I'm talking, but there's not that much to like discuss. But you kind of happen upon Bonnie and Kenny. Mike and Kenny.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny's by himself, kind of. Bonnie and Mike kind of say that they tried to talk to him and he just got very belligerent, that they were afraid of him.
Well, he's got a gun.
Did it seem like, yeah, he's got a gun too, yeah. But then I don't know, the game was like, I don't know, maybe they're just doing it because they didn't want to have to bother to write that those two scenes twice graphically. Like, but it looked like, the first thing I looked at was like, her arm's back. It's like, you know, it's like she's sort of like huddled there and it's like, is her arm back? Is this game like just like, ooh, you know?
So what are you talking about?
Sarita.
Sarita's
made it to the park. She dies in the tent in the park.
For you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she died in the tent.
Wait, did you chop off her arm?
I chopped off her arm.
Is this when your game had problems saving your save?
Probably.
Yeah, you might have auto-filled in your decisions for you.
Because I distinctly remember chopping off her arm.
If you go back and change things, it'll reset your further progress.
That would make sense. Yeah, because I did read that even if you don't cut off her arm, she still dies.
She made it to the tent for me.
Yeah, so you ended up having the...
So you probably killed the zombie.
Yeah, because, another thing happened with the drugs. I didn't steal the drugs, but I still get accused of stealing the drugs at the end.
That happens no matter what.
That's just part of the game. We'll get there.
Yeah, that's stupid.
That sounds like where you were having trouble with your saving, that it just kind of was like, here you go. This is what you did. Oh, that's interesting.
Whether you like it or not.
Did anything happen since you experienced that? Like, did anything, like, meaningful happen between...
Yeah, Kenny, I mean...
Cerrito, or...
Yeah, he's... At first, Kenny and Cerrito are at the fountain. And he's just, like... She's hanging on. But he's like, just leave me alone. I just, you know... And he's pretty much saying to them, I know what you guys are talking about. You know, it's like... Mm-hmm. You know, what are we going to do with Sarita kind of thing? It's like, you know, just leave me be.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he just, and then I think then you go to the trailer park. When you come back from the trailer park, Kenny and Sarita are in the tent. And Sarita has passed on to the next phase of her life, so to speak. And so that's where she dies, and then everything hits the fan after, you know, with Sarah being back and
right.
So that's where that sort of ends up.
I mean, that does kind of, to me, it kind of begs the question of like, okay, I mean, so she still dies, but I kind of almost, I don't know. Like, it's almost like, did you have the right to, like, for those of us, well, all of us who cut off her arm back at the end of episode 3, did we have the right to do that so quickly? Like, should we have just killed the zombie and just dealt with her, like, after we got away from the zombies and let Kenny deal with her? Well, or were we right in...
So, you know, kind of look at it from an 11-year-old's perspective.
Sure.
Where she's around a bunch of grown-ups. And she... what's the guy's name there? The Indian guy.
Reggie.
Mm-hmm. That, you know, here's a guy that got bit and they cut his arm off and saved his life. And, you know, in the split second that she sees Sarita being bit, she's like, well, it worked for him.
Yeah.
You know, I'm making a split second decision here.
Yeah.
You know, that's a solution that the adults have done, so let me do that.
That's true.
And I think the game purposely primes you to do that by putting Reggie with that situation in the same episode. But at the same time, I feel like, well, just because of things that happen later, I feel like Sarita going back with Kenny and then being in the tent, I feel like that makes a little bit more, like, that's more closure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure. Just a thought that came across, especially since Franco, you experienced that. So what do you think? Like, which do you think that you would have preferred?
I chose to cut her arm off, but, you know, seeing what he seemed pretty pissed anyway. Regardless. So it was like, didn't matter.
Yeah. The other playthrough, he just gets really mad at you. And then everybody's like,
oh, he is ticked off.
Can you talk to Kennedy? Kenny, you know, Kenny, like, I killed his girlfriend. I cut off her arm and chopped and,
well, I mean, to be fair, that's not what killed her. It was the zombies that killed her.
Well, you can choose to put an axe in her head.
Well, right, but at first you're trying to save her. That's only after you see that she's not going to make it.
When do you get the option to put an axe in her head?
That's after you chop off her arm. You have the option to either, like, kill her then or let Kenny deal with it.
Oh, okay.
And I just chose to hit her because she got bit in the neck by the zombies.
So you just took her out then?
Why?
Why wouldn't she let Kenny deal with her?
Because Kenny's unstable.
Okay. Milo, what'd you say?
She was still human at that point, right? She hadn't
learned. Yeah. But I realized that, like, basically me having chopped off her arm was now pointless because you can't really fix the fact that she got bit, like, in the neck, at least it looked like, by one of the zombies. So
That was what the game was trying to,
to
make us realize.
Yeah. So, Kenny being how kind of unstable that he was, I chose to just do it.
Okay.
Instead of letting him, like, possibly end up getting us screwed.
Okay. Like, instead of having him to, like, just freaking out, or instead of having him to deal with it himself?
Yeah. So, I axed her in the face, and he got really pissed off at me.
Well, sure. I would definitely get ticked off at that, too. I mean, he was ticked off enough at just chopping off her arm. Like...
Yeah, because I didn't chop her after the fact.
Yeah.
And Kenny didn't deal with it either. He just kind of ran away.
One chop was enough for me. Yeah. Thanks.
I didn't even really think that was an option.
Yeah. So you get back to, so Kenny's really ticked. And if Saria doesn't die, which he still is ticked at the, you know, if she doesn't die in the tent. If you choose, but Kenny's really upset with you. Do you think that do you think that his reaction was, oh dear goodness?
Yep.
What? Sorry, Kevin just posted a picture in our chat of chopping Sarita's face. That's the last thing I wanted to see this evening. Okay, moving on. So, I mean, do you think that Kenny's reaction to if you did chop off Sarita's arm and didn't chop off her face, we'll just leave that out. If you did chop off her arm, like that his reaction was warranted, that he was reacting realistically, blaming you?
I think he was just angry.
Yeah.
And, you know, plus it's like his whole family structure is... yet again.
Yep.
Gone, essentially.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I like how they, I mean, you know, their facial expressions and stuff are limited to the engine at the time, but I like how they did Clementine's reactions when he was sitting there at the fountain blaming her and yelling at her. Like, she just got really scared, and she was like kind of like she was cold, like kind of grasping herself, you know, like, you know. And I thought that was a really interesting kind of reaction for her. And I guess mostly because, you know, she probably feels closer to him than most people in the group, so I'm sure that was difficult for her to hear, because she just thought that she was doing what was right, I think. So let's see here. So you're going to find Luke and Sarah. You go off with Jane. Jane gives you a nice little talk. How are you guys feeling about Jane at this point? Do you trust her, or are you feeling a little weary about her?
I think she knows what she's doing. She's just suffering from some sort of, like, something that happened to her, so she's not really the most trusting of others.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's, I mean...
the whole thing with her sister.
Yeah, you get the whole talk about the sister, and up until the trailer park, she's quote unquote fine. She's just a little wary of sticking with the group. That's, you know, which in a situation like that, it could be understood. Up until the trailer park, through the trailer park, I'm okay with Jane.
Yeah. Yeah, she's definitely, and she kind of takes Clementine under her wing. Because, you know, she had a younger sister who
Right, she left behind.
Yeah, she tried to get her, you know, well, she, you know, had tried and had worked with her younger sister and protected her, and but they, you know, they were cornered on a roof somewhere, and it was either, you know, leave then without her sister or both of them die. So she left, which I'm sure is not easy to deal with. Anyway, so she gives you a little points of advice. I think she gives you a screwdriver to use instead of your axe, instead of your tomahawk.
What was it, ice pick?
Yeah, I don't know if it was a screwdriver or an ice pick. I don't know.
Yeah, it was an ice pick.
That makes sense. I can see that now. I can see it.
Something that gets in and out real quick of a brain.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he does definitely. And she also teaches you to go for the knees first and then smash him in the head with the ice pick.
I appreciate that so much.
Right?
It's made encounters so much better.
I know.
Since we learned that skill.
Yeah. So smart.
Sweep the leg. Like Karate Kid.
Yeah. 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 But she was super nice. She was super open with Clementine, surprisingly. And again, I think that's because she reminded her of her little sister. So, so then you come across the trailer park. You find Sarah's glasses on the ground. Clementine's hopeful, but then you see poor Luke.
Nick.
Sorry, poor Nick turned into a zombie. Yeah. Honestly, like, were you guys, like, sad? Like, I mean, I was kind of sad, but, like, he just wasn't that, did anyone not have Nick at this point? Because he could have died earlier. He could have died, like, what, an episode ago? Two episodes ago?
If we hadn't convinced the dude to forgive him, at least to, like, let him be after he killed Matt, then he could have been dead.
Yeah. So... But everyone had Nick in the fence.
Yep.
This is zombie. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I was sad to see it, but I wasn't like, Luke, because he was kind of, didn't really have that much impact in the past, like, you know, few encounters. So,
well, he had sinned according to the laws of the world. And so justice was coming. We knew at some point.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So you hear Luke and Sarah kind of having, like, Luke's getting frustrated at Sarah, and Sarah's, you know, it sounded really strange coming from the trailer.
It sounded weird.
It did. From, like, three trailers away, too. Mm-hmm. Like, you could hear it from, like, yard, like, you know, like, you were far away from that trailer, and you could hear it, like, it was, like, in the trailer beside you, or in, like, it was so...
Did anyone get the audio glitch of, as you were well enough away from the trailer park, you could still hear the zombies?
Maybe, I don't know.
I think so, yeah.
Like, there were, like, right behind you type of, like, noise level?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, no.
Maybe, I just didn't, I might not have noticed it.
That sounds sucky.
I
was disappointed with the trailer park in that there was one zombie that was unique that had, like, a motorcycle helmet, and they didn't do anything with that zombie.
They didn't do anything with that zombie, Kevin. No, that zombie was just there.
It was this red motorcycle helmet zombie, and that's the only one that we've ever seen, and they don't do anything with it.
Yeah, it was, for this, it was a zombie wearing a red motorcycle helmet, which you just don't, I mean, there's not that many, like, weird looking zombies. I mean, they all kind of look the same. They're all kind of,
have probably like 10 different, you know, zombie models.
But yeah, this one had a red motorcycle helmet. Probably just something they decided to throw in for fun. Like, hey, let's do this. Developing fun. That's what you get to do when you develop a video game, is just adding crap. So you distract the zombies. You put the zombie on the horn of the car to distract them, which doesn't last long enough as you're trying to, like, scamper over to the trailer where Luke and Sarah are apparently. zombies are coming after you. You find you get the trailer. Sarah is pretty much to herself in one of the rooms, just kind of like balled up and in a corner somewhere, or in one of the rooms, I mean. And Luke's been trying to get her out of there, but he can't lift her because of his injury.
Right, because of his convenient injury.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, his injury.
Telltale Writers.
Yeah, he can't move her.
Which mysteriously disappears later on, but you know.
Yeah, it does. Oh yeah, it does. Yeah. Anyways, so
we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. So Sarah's there. You like, I can't. Jane's not trying to do anything. You know, she's trying to keep the zombies from like breaking in, and is the one that's like standing there being like, "We need to hurry up." So you're kind of left to try and convince Sarah, or you can or you can just not convince Sarah. Just be like, let's leave her. Let's go. There were a couple of tries to convince Sarah. Like, you know, you talk to her once, she doesn't really listen. You have to talk to her again, and then you have to try something else. So did everyone try and convince Sarah, or did someone, or did any of you like, were like, no, let's just go.
I slapped them.
Well, yeah. But did anyone like just like not believe that they should try and save her, like just leave her?
No.
Okay.
I saved her to spite Jane.
A little bit of that too.
It's like, yeah, I like, you know, Jane. I don't have any problem with Jane. But yeah, she was.
You might later on.
Well, I'm sure. Okay. Okay, Stanton, Mr. McStanton, I've played ahead of, like, seasons ahead.
Hey, well, this game came out, like, 5 years ago, so.
I know. The odds of him playing ahead is pretty high. Yeah.
No, I expect you to not play any game until we discuss it right here in game chat from here on out. JK.
Chris needs another hobby. Yeah.
So no one decided to leave her. Everyone decided to try to save her. Did your attempts to save her fail, or were you successful?
After slapping her.
Yeah, the slap.
The only way to actually get her out is to slap her.
Well, that's interesting. That's interesting. So everyone decided to slap her to get her to go.
Well, that's the final choice thing.
I know it's the final choice, but you don't have to. And she stays there and dies. Yeah, you can totally leave her. No, you can leave her. You can leave her there.
I know. It just felt kind of pointless of doing all this stuff to.
Well, to, I mean, like, you know,
go and get the thing for the skylight to get out. It felt kind of pointless going through all that effort to just go and leave her.
You found Luke.
The rest of you weren't going to get out otherwise.
Yeah.
Without getting the stuff for the skylight.
Yeah. I mean, that's cool. I mean, we all decided to try and save her. We all successfully saved her.
But we had twice, we had the option to leave her.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at that point, it's when it leaves you with the final choice, it's like, well, I've tried everything. I'm not going to. Why not slap her? I mean,
it's,
okay, you're going to let me slap her? Okay, you know, it's slap her or leave her? I'll slap her.
And I hesitated on that one because, like, the last person who slapped the crap out of her was her dad.
Yeah.
That's not going to
resonate too well. Yeah.
And there's some people that as soon as you're like, you know what, fine, have it your way and walk away and turn your back on them, then they're like, oh, no, wait.
Yeah.
So, and you have to make that split second decision which kind of person she's going to be.
Yep. Exactly.
For an 11-year-old to make that decision,
I'm 29. Thank you very much.
No. I mean, you know, in the game,
sure.
Telltale is thrusting this decision upon an 11-year-old.
Yeah. Sure. I felt the same way. I felt a little hesitant. I mean, there wasn't that much time to be hesitant. I mean, the clock was ticking pretty fast on these options.
Yeah.
But I was like, I don't know if okay, Slapper, go for it. And I didn't think it would work. I thought she would end up just dying, and I was like, well, this is pointless. Were you guys kind of, I mean, since we all tried to save Sarah, were you kind of, obviously Stanton was, I mean, well, he has other feelings as well, but like, you know, was a little ticked. Did you feel a little ticked at like Jane and kind of Luke as well? I mean, Luke, and he mentions that later too. He was like, I just went ahead and let you guys push me through the skylight. Like, I didn't try to save Sarah. I didn't try to go back for her. Were you guys kind of like, upset with them for like wanting to leave Sarah?
No.
He had been there with her in the house for that entire time trying to get her out.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Like if we had come up there and he had been leaving the place and she was still in there, then I would probably have been upset with them. But he was still there, like had been trying to get her to leave.
It would take Madeline a lot to be upset with Luke. Let's just leave it at that.
Still not mad. At the end of the episode.
What I find kind of dumb is she's all like screaming and yelling.
Yeah.
And like once like you go in there after you get in there, she's like completely calm.
If you tried to hug her, then she freaks out on you.
Oh yeah.
I didn't try to hug her.
So I think as every time she was yelling, it's because Luke was trying to pick her up.
Yeah, Luke was trying because he said that. He was like, I even tried carrying her out of here, but he couldn't because of his injury. And
if she was cooperating, he probably could have carried her out.
For sure.
If you have broken ribs and a flailing child.
Yeah.
I probably.
Flailing 15-year-old kid.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you would. It probably only exasperated the problem of his injury that is healable. So you escape through the skylight, you get up on the roof. I don't remember how do you get off the roof? How do you get off?
You just jump down off the other side.
Okay. Cool. Well, I guess zombies still think that you're inside, so they're still trying to get inside the cabin.
Yeah, zombies are stupid.
Obviously. So you get out, start going back. I think that you have like the option to like comfort Sarah, and you know, well, she's still kind of to herself, and I'm trying to think here. I'm trying to go through everything. You go back. I think Kenny's in the tent by himself. Yeah. Now, Franco, was it after you go and find Luke and Sarah that Sarita dies, or was it before?
Yeah. Yeah, when you come back, he's in the tent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See, when you come back, if you come back, like if Saria's already dead, he's just sitting in the tent by himself.
Right. But the only difference in this case was Sarita's body was there.
Was she undead or was she dead?
She was just dead.
Oh, okay.
Believe it. You know, they didn't. They just left it to your imagination what Kenny did, or you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, you don't strangle somebody in that condition. I don't know what he did, you know? So.
I'm trying to remember if we've had anybody get their neck snapped in this game.
I don't know what the canon is in the
Zombie Walking Dead,
in the universe. What is the necessary to prevent the coming back of someone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, what's the significance of getting your neck snapped?
Oh, if he didn't want to shoot her or stab her, he could snap her neck.
Oh.
And if that kills zombies in this universe.
Is that a comic book thing? I don't think that's a TV show.
I don't remember.
It was never brought up in the comics.
Because I know in the TV show, like, somebody gets decapitated, but their head is still, like, chomping around.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And don't forget the stranger has his wife's head in the bag.
Yeah. Yeah. So okay, so probably not neck snap then. I'm really
We'll talk about
this a little bit next week, but I'm really like that could have done so much for Kenny's story if they had kind of addressed how he dealt with Sarita.
He deals with everything horribly.
Oh, yes, yeah. For sure.
But yeah, when you get back, Bonnie goes and uses the same line of, why don't you go talk to Kenny? Yeah. You know Kenny. It's like, yeah. Bonnie, it didn't work the first time. Why would it work this time?
No one knows how to talk to Kenny, apparently, except Clementine. Clementine's the only person.
Yeah, and then the game is like, you can tell people that Kenny knows how to birth babies. And I'm like, how is that, like, why would we know that? Or like, when did we get that knowledge?
Because Kenny's wife was a vet, so she helped.
That doesn't mean anything.
I don't know anything about network administration.
My husband is a network admin.
They basically he's had a child, so he's familiar with the birthing process.
I'm thinking that's it, because like no one else there has had kids as far as we know.
Except for Carlos, who's dead.
That's right. Your lone medical person.
But then, just your wife having a baby.
It's a hell of an assumption, yes.
It doesn't mean that he was, because usually, like, he's not, usually, some most of the time, they're not going to be, like, right there beside the mother, like, watching as the doctor is delivering the baby. I mean, sometimes they're out of the room, sometimes they're
in the waiting room most of the time, yeah.
It's different for every family.
Yeah, for sure.
Which he could chalk up as a missed opportunity for Telltale. So they could have came in. They could have came in there with you know, making that assumption, and Kenny going, "I was in the waiting room the whole time. I don't know why you people think I know anything about."
He'd like play along the whole time, and then like right up until it was serious, then he'd crunch and then be like, "I don't know. I wasn't there. I was out on my boat.
I was out fishing when it happened.
Even home."
And of course, they go with the Hollywood trope: water and blankets. You know,
water and blankets, guys. Water and blankets.
I mean, you should probably have those things anyway. But
right,
for sure. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't think because I know. I think first season. Now that I think about, there was a cow that was giving birth, right? Wasn't there some calves that were born? But I don't remember Kenny taking an active role in that. I think it was just his wife at the time.
Well, he was in the barn, but yeah.
Yeah. I remember her, and I think Duck was still around then. Yeah, but I don't remember him taking, like, I don't know, maybe that's what they were going off of, was that she knew that his wife was a vet.
Well, no, Clem had said, it's like, Kenny had a kid before, so.
Oh, okay, so she's just. They were all just like assuming.
Yeah, just,
yes. They just assumed.
So, guys, so here's the lesson. You know, even if. So men that whose wives or girlfriends have had children, and they were like, you know, they were with them at the time, or, you know.
In a relationship.
In relationship with them at the time. They obviously know how to birth children. They know how to do this. So that's the lesson for tonight. Pretty much all men who even know a woman that has experienced the birthing process.
You got this.
They know. They know how to deliver babies.
You immediately earn your handmaiden wet nurse wings at that point.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Although, to be fair to Kenny, like when push time comes, he's not doing the doctor thing. He's doing the coach thing, which is probably what he would have done if he was in the room with Katya as well. True. He would have been there holding her hand and telling her to breathe and you got this.
Yeah, so that's true.
That's true.
They just call him doctor. They just refer say that he can do it all. He's just like, I'll just do what I know to do.
Okay, next thing.
Kevin's getting uncomfortable.
Well, no, because we've been at this for a while.
You know, I will say, it's important. You know, I did learn a lot more than what I wanted to learn when my sister was pregnant.
Sure. Oh, I'm sure you did.
And, you know.
I'm sure you did. Yeah.
All the gory detail, so, you know.
Yeah, I'm calling you if I ever get pregnant, Stanton.
Exactly. Stanton knows how to deliver babies.
I won't answer the phone.
So, I did think that there's a really nice moment really quick in the tent with Kenny when he's upset. I don't know if you got this, Franco, but like where you could, Kenny's feeling very sorry for, you know, just saying, you know, he just keeps getting it. He keeps getting hit and hit and hit with all these things, which I agree. He's had a pretty miserable time, which of course they kind of all have. But, you know, I think since we've seen him longer, been a part of his story longer, it seems like he's experienced a good bit. Mm-hmm. But there's, you know, you could say like, you could assure him, you could not say anything, or you could say that like, because I think he says, you know, that he kind of wished that Carver would have killed him. Mm-hmm. I know I assured him, like, well, you helped me all the time, was how I assured him. And I kind of liked that, you know, because he seemed very appreciative of that and very happy about that, what is going on here. So moving on, he sends everyone out to do their thing. They need to find a place for Rebecca to give birth. Jane decides to go off and check out something, a place by the river, I think.
Gift shop.
Right. And Mike and Bonnie decide to go to check out a museum that we conveniently see a sign for. Who did you guys decide to go with to help out? Or did you, like, I mean, I know that there's like I don't know if different things happen with a different order that you take things. I know first, for example, I checked on Sarah and talked with her just a bit and reassured her.
I forgot to go and check on Sarah, I think.
Or Sarah. And then...
It's easy to miss her. She's like hiding in the corner.
Oh, man. And then I went with Bonnie and Mike. To help them search for supplies at the museum. And then I went to check out Sarah. Did anyone go with Sarah? Jane. Did anyone go with Jane first?
I went with Jane first.
Yeah.
I didn't select one. I just let the timer run out because I knew that I was really assigned anyway, and I didn't really like any of the options. And Luke's like, why didn't you go with Jane? And I was like, fine.
Madeline, here's the real reason, right? Madeline wanted to stay with Luke. She just wanted to spend some time to stay right there.
Stay with my boyfriend.
Franco, you went with Jane first. So tell me what happened. Did it go right to when you ran into Arvo?
No, you try to open up the store and you have to click on everything before you get the Arvo event.
Okay, so nothing, it's not different than if you would have went with Mike, and it doesn't sound like. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think they might just change the time of day slightly or something.
You
run into Arvo and all that fun stuff happens.
Yeah.
You had to click on everything before you got Arvo?
I think I had to click on the right telescope.
Yeah.
Okay, then that must have been the one I went to first.
Yeah, because I missed the first one. I clicked on the far one. I didn't see the first one.
That's what
Because it was, like, kind of hidden because of camera angles.
Yeah, camera angles, yeah. Yeah, I think I clicked on a bunch of stuff. I clicked on, like, the cannon and other things, and then... Clementine was really disappointed to find out that they put cement in the cannons to keep them from working properly. She was a little disappointed about that information from Jane. So first off, since that kind of leads to something, so going with Jane first, did you get a chance to go check on Mike and Bonnie, Frank?
Yes, you come back after the Arvo experience.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, then you can talk to, like, a few people, and then you have to go check on the other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, because as you're leaving the gift shop area there, Luke comes strolling up.
Right.
Okay. All right. He just had less time then, or more time in that case. Okay, so going with Mike, with Mike and Bonnie to the museum. We'll start there, and then we'll get to Jane. You're searching for supplies. You come across a fun raccoon who Mike tries to get, you know, you're all trying to catch it to kill it for food because Mike's really, really, really hungry. But the raccoon gets away and you find out it has little babies. So, but then you also find a coat there. Yeah, Madeline?
Oh, part of me was like, oh, that's that much bigger of a dinner. But at the same time, I was like, no, you're supposed to be thinking about the new baby coming to your family. So
game played with you. Yeah.
You find a coat there, which is a... Okay, so you find a coat. Did anyone even notice that it was, or even think that it was a gray Confederate coat that you found?
No. I just thought it was some sort of Civil War jacket. It could have, for all we know, it could have actually been a blue coat, and it just faded.
Maybe, but they did say, like, you know, they made a comment about it, or Mike did. He was like, you know, because... At first, like, you can say, oh, we can wrap the baby in it, or, you know, we can give it to Rebecca, which is what I chose. And he was like, I don't think that you want to put that gray coat on Rebecca. Or considering, like, I forgot what he said, considering the time period or considering the museum we're in, like, you don't want to put that coat on Rebecca because it did for it, Confederacy. And then Madeline pointed out that today is actually Juneteenth. Mm-hmm. Which honestly, I mean, I've heard about, but of course it's not anything like that I've ever like celebrated or knew even like, unfortunately, like, you know, days. Was anyone else aware other than Madeline that it was Juneteenth?
Nope. What?
No.
That's a shame. Okay. So anyways, guys, let me give you a little quick history lesson according to Wikipedia. Juneteenth. Also known as Juneteenth Independence Day or Freedom Day, is an American holiday that commemorates June the 19th of 1865 with the announcement of the abolition of slavery in the U.S. State of Texas, and more generally, the emancipation of enslaved blacks throughout the former Confederacy of the Southern United States. So, very important day to a lot of people that I feel kind of bad I did not even realize, but
if you know anything about history, you'll note that's like 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, so 2 extra years.
One of
the people I'm friends with on Facebook posted a thing that said June 19th, 1865 because my ancestors were working July 4th, 1776. So it's a much bigger deal here in Texas and here in the South.
I'm sure.
I felt really crappy that I didn't notice that the coat was gray, particularly after realizing.
For sure. Because they're in Virginia currently, and that was Confederate. So do you think that because, you know, he mentions that Rebecca might not want to wear the coat, although she did anyways. It's kind of understandable that they might, you know, he might have been like, well, you might not want to, you know, offer that coat to her. It might be kind of, you know, not a good thing. But, you know, she's cold once you get back, and she kind of takes it anyways. I mean, there's really nothing.
She doesn't care.
Yeah. I mean, there is, like, you find some water there. You do find two big water barrels, which is really good. Almost die in the process. Again, they ask Clementine to do the dirty work, which really, I mean, honestly, she's not the only one they can fit, because apparently if you don't do it, Bonnie does it. Did anyone refuse to go through the little crawl space and to get the water?
I kind of reluctantly did it. It's like, well, you're going to make me do it anyway.
Yeah.
No, I told Bonnie to check the door because I was tired of going into, you know, letting the 11-year-old do everything. So I was like, go ahead, Bonnie, check the door.
Yeah. And the same thing happens, whether whoever goes, a zombie's in there, and which I guess it'd be kind of hard to see through that little crack that they had open. But,
yeah, but you know, bang on the counter a little before you even attempt it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you raise the door about another, you raise the slider about 6 inches, and it's like, well, you wouldn't have heard the zombie, like, notice you, or the zombie wouldn't have noticed you. I mean, I know. Nitpicking, I know.
He was in stealth mode. But anyways, they break in anyways and to save you, like, or, you know, Mike being his Mike self, which I think I took a screenshot of, but I won't, like, take the time to find, but he carried both water barrels back.
I guess.
Yeah, Mike, that's impossible. Awesome.
Mike is the man.
That's impossible. You know how much those things weigh?
Well, no, for sure. Frank, yes.
He carried them 1.2 miles back.
Yes, 1.2 miles.
Even tired.
And then I love it, like, when you go, because, like, you get a chance. I know before I went to check on Jane, I had a chance to, like, talk to people at the camp. And he was like, yeah, I'm a little tired. It's kind of catching up with me. And I'm like, no crap, man. You carried two huge water barrels back. You are doing it. To go back, and then for those who did those first, you get a chance to check on Jane or vice versa. Jane, you're just helping her open up the gift shop. I think she kind of, like, talks to you again about her past a bit. She continues to kind of open up to Clementine. And then Arvo comes along, this great guy. He's like a teenager with a limp. Looks completely, like, non-threatening. You know, you see him, like, limping up across the yard, and you're like, he can't hurt. Like, there's nothing that this kid can do. He has a big bag, though, with him.
Bowling ball bag.
yeah, bowling ball bag. I know that with mine, I said that I would talk to him. So you hide and you can kind of talk to him, or I don't know, but you know, he kind of pulls a gun on you. It's kind of an intense situation. You have the option to either, because then Jane pops up, she has a gun, or she takes the gun, his gun. You have the option to either take his medicine, because his whole bowling bag is full of medicine. You have the option to take that, or to not take it. So what did everyone decide?
I chose to not take it.
What, Kevin, you took it or no?
I chose to not take it, because I felt like if you let him go, it would... If you took his stuff and then let him go, he would come back to, like, kill you or something.
Yeah.
I felt like that he was probably telling us the truth, that if this is the kid that's out getting supplies with his leg in a brace.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not gonna, like, this is the best they have to offer, so I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take anything else from him.
For sure. For sure. Like, I believed him at this point. I was like, okay, this kid obviously has a sick sister because he's, like, he's sad looking, you know? Like, I mean, he's fine looking, but I mean, again, like you said, he has a limp. He doesn't seem at all confident. Like, he's just kind of, like, terrified. Just there. He's terrified. So I believed him, and I was like, okay, I'm not. And then also, I didn't want to be like, I also feared, and maybe others felt this, I also feared, like, the implications of, like, actually taking something and what that would imply down the road. Like, I thought something's going to happen, you know, if I take the medicine, you know, he'll end up having a group and will come back and attack me. So I left it alone.
Yeah, I was just... Go ahead, Chris.
I think it was I, uh,
I found it a little bit odd that he was hiding the drugs in the first place.
Yeah, I don't understand. Yeah, I mean, but I'm
I think he was trying to, like, steal the drugs from his group because he's, like, a drug addict or something.
Yeah, that was... Because
all of them were, like, painkillers and, like,
I know. Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot.
Dude has a broken leg.
He does.
Probably in serious pain.
That's
true. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but you don't need that much.
As the person who gives medicine to people with broken legs on a regular basis.
Madeline. Madeline's on the up.
Yeah, I didn't know if he was, if it was, it looked like a very permanent brace. Like what would you call it, Madeline? Something like if you have a deformity in your leg.
Dystrophy or something like that.
Polio.
Not polio.
Dysentery.
You know, something like one leg's shorter than the other or something like that, you know, something like that. But it should have been a tip off. I should have known better. I didn't steal the drugs, but I was wary of them. And the dialogue option that was the most obvious to me wasn't there is, well, where's your sister, or bring your sister here, or we'll go to your sister.
Yeah.
You know, that was the most obvious choice for me to, you know, if I was in that situation, I'd say, well, let's go see your sister.
Yeah.
And if he hems and haws, then now you know you got him.
That's true. Sure. That's true. If the dialogue options were completely, like, on the fly made up, like, you could just be like, yeah, let's go. So, you know, considering, I mean, like, I think I read that if you take the drugs, he leaves and you have the drugs with you. To give to Rebecca later.
Go ahead.
You don't think what, Franco?
That it has any impact.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So then
that collapses. Or no, the zombies show up conveniently. Well,
you head out.
That's right. You come back to the gift shop to find
Luke.
Well, first you get back to the camp, and then zombies start showing up, and Kenny goes and, like...
So, yeah, I mean, but, like, on the way back to the camp, and you pass Luke coming into, towards the gift shop, Luke expresses some concern about Jane, that he doesn't trust her. Just to point that out before we get to another part.
When you get to make a statement one way or the other, right?
You do.
And then
you
get to make a statement. Luke will remember that.
Did anyone say to trust her, that you trust her?
I think I took the neutral option, which is like, there was a neutral option. There was I trust her, I don't trust her, and then there was a neutral one. I took the neutral.
There was, I like her, I'm not sure what to think. You could say nothing, or you can say we can't trust her.
I'm not sure what to think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did as well.
I said not to trust her.
I think I said attaboy. I liked her. But I think, like, the funny thing is when I first read that while I was playing, I think I thought that it said we can trust her, not that we can't. What in the world, Arvo? So I put up with her. So Stanton, why did you say that you couldn't trust her since the rest of us kind of were on the fence or okay? Is this because of later knowledge? Okay. I keep forgetting who I'm dealing with. So you leave, you go back to the camp, zombies start attacking. Kenny goes all Kenny, crazy.
All last man standing kind of.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't take too many screenshots of that. I think you just end up coming back to the gift shop pretty quickly. Like, you tell them that Jane has it open. I think Rebecca's in, like, pretty much, like,
yeah, her water breaks.
Ready to go. She's ready to go.
The big triggering event is that her water breaks at the same time the zombies show up.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. Because
she's screaming, so it's attracting them all.
Yeah.
And there was no one patrolling the perimeter.
Right, because Luke
was gone.
To give us the warning.
Luke was out.
Yeah, our scout was missing.
So, everyone heads back to the gift shop, and we find Luke and Jane having a great time together.
Doing the Jack and Diane,
As it were. Jack and Diane. Nice. So, I mean, I find this really interesting. I know, you know, it seems, I understand it, but it's very interesting to me that just, I don't know, maybe a half hour earlier, I don't know how long it's been. I mean, I'm not really sure the distance in between the monument area and the gift shop. I don't think it's just a hop, skip, and a jump. I think there's probably a little bit of walking, not a lot. It probably like a couple of minutes worth at least, 5 minutes worth, maybe less. So I would say probably like 20, 25 minutes at the least. So 20, 25 minutes ago, he was just being like, I don't trust her. I don't know. I'm just not really sure about her.
I think. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Frank.
I think the way this was set up, at least in my mind, this, and I might take some slings and arrows, that this plays more against Jane than it does Luke. Just going on what Jane showed some of her cards with the who was the guy? Trent? Or what was his?
Oh, that's right.
Carver's right hand man.
Troy.
And it's like, well, is this just part two? She's just, you know, taking, Jane, you know, trying to find an ally or whatever her motivation may be. You know,
Jane's very, she's very self-focused. Mm-hmm. I think that Jane, not that she's a bad person. I don't think that she's a bad person. I think that circumstances have led her to, or at least from what I read of her character, I don't know absolutely for sure. Danton knows the future in this arena. But to me, she seems like a person that is going to do whatever is the best for her. She wants to be a family. At least later when she leaves, you know, it almost seems like, and maybe I'm reading into this, but that it seems like that she kind of wants to be a part of the group, but she also doesn't want to be left, like, she doesn't want to witness the whole, because she mentions that a lot, like the whole falling apart, the whole like destruction, people turning against other people, that sort of thing. So she's learned to be on her own. And so Jane's going to do whatever is the best for Jane. And so I think it's just one of those things of like with Carver's guy, it was probably to get, I don't know, better stuff there, to get better treated, to possibly for a way out. In this moment, it seems like to me, maybe because there wasn't really anything she was getting out of it other than just satisfaction, you know?
God forbid a woman enjoy sex.
yeah, but I don't know.
I think it has to do
out of the blue like that? I don't know. There was zero chemistry between them. Zero. Nil, nada.
That doesn't matter, Frank. Sometimes it's just what you want.
Okay.
Anyways, right. we don't have to make camp on this subject.
But, no, we can just leave
just
it behind.
Just so it's there. Yeah. Anyway, so Rebecca starts. Oh, it's hot in here. Rebecca starts.
Whoa!
Okay.
Whoa!
Alrighty.
Rebecca starts going into labor, pretty much. Kenny's there playing the doctor, or the coach.
Earth coach. Yes. Yeah.
And at first it seems like that the... Oh, well, everyone's really upset with Luke, let's be honest, because he obviously, you know, let a few things... He dropped the ball. That's the best way that I can think of to put that. He dropped the ball, left his post, left his command, and zombies. That's partially why the zombies were able to get in so easily. So everyone's just kind of like, Kenny especially is just not having it. You know, anyways, so Rebecca's going to labor, blah, blah, blah. The baby, unfortunately, at first it seems like the baby's dead when it's born. And I'm just like, oh, no, like, please, can something just, you know, go okay? I mean, yes, I'm not really thrilled about having a baby to take care of, but I also didn't want Rebecca to go through the baby being dead, stillborn. But it's alive. It's fine. It just takes a couple of minutes. Sometimes it does.
Was the baby born before or after the deck collapsed?
Oh, that's right. I completely... I got so... Well, anyways. So zombies are still... Are coming. Like, zombies are coming into the yard.
Because somebody's screaming.
Right, because
they're having a baby. Rebecca.
Exactly. And you're trying to keep them out. They get through the gate. You're trying to keep them from coming on top of the porch up to the gift shop because the gift shop is elevated. And I think what happens? How does it happen that the porch breaks?
You try to wheel the cannon.
Wheel the cannon. It breaks the porch. Sarah, if she's still alive, goes tumbling down. At this point, you can either say leave her, or you can have Jane go down and try to help her.
I convinced Jane to go down.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was surprised she did.
Well,
I knew Sarah was going to get screwed anyway, so I just decided to pull up Jane.
Okay, and just left her, and then the zombies just attacked her.
Yeah, that was that was a bad scene. That was a sad scene.
You can then tell Jane to shut up, or you can be like, I knew it was going to happen. If you tell her to shut up, it gives the option of Jane will remember that. I changed my option, though, because I ended up failing in breaking the rest of the porch.
What?
I didn't click on the right thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's definitely a timer.
So what happened if you failed breaking the rest of the porch?
Oh, the zombies come up and like
they get
start eating you and
you die.
It's a restarter. Yeah, it's a restarter.
Okay. I told Jane to go and save Sarah just because by this time we had known pretty much the entire story of her sister. And that she had left her, because I think that she reveals leaving her sister when you're trying to open the gift shop. Like, I think that's finally revealed there, I think.
Yeah.
With
the nail file and all that stuff, yeah.
You know the whole story, and so I kind of figured Jane will, you know, even though she kind of, you know, is stubborn, you know, I don't know what that is, obviously. I do. BTW. You know, she's stubborn, and you're just kind of like, you know, she acts like she doesn't want to save Sarah, but I kind of felt like, oh, well, she'll probably feel bad if she doesn't try, because it's just another person that she's left, even though she tried to leave her before, but I forgot about that, obviously. So, but it doesn't matter because Sarah still dies.
That was a tough one because, you know, at the very end, she cries out, Daddy, and I'm like, oh, my Lord.
It's like...
And she's screaming Clementine, and I'm like...
It's like, gosh. God. Stab me again, will you?
I just wish there was more reason, Sarah.
Yeah.
And more reasoning. I mean, it was a sad death, but just... it seemed like, well, what have I tried to save her for up until this point? Exactly. You know, like, and that's a bad way to look. I mean, you know, I mean, you try and save her at different points because it's the right thing to do. I understand that. But then it's kind of like story-wise, you know, there's really nothing that is resolved with anything there. With even like her surviving, with her continuing on with you, like it just kind of seems like, okay, well, this is just the inevitable. Like this is, I guess at some point it was just bound to happen. Which is a shame. But then you have a start to look at, I think Stanton's brought it up before, you know, she's just not really like she would never be able to survive on her own. So if she was ever left by herself,
Right, she was a goner. Yeah.
She was a goner. And what I mean by Stanton, I think Stanton, you said before, like, people, like, you know, certain people just aren't meant to survive in this type of situation. And, you know, meaning, like, zombie apocalypse, you know. So...
I think Sarah's also kind of the picture of what Clementine would be if she didn't meet Lee.
That's true.
That's a very good point. Very good point.
That's true. Because she was very... You know.
She was exactly not. I mean, obviously, Sarah had some issues.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. That's it. But if Sarah would have actually even gotten out of the treehouse,
yes, Sarah would have never left the treehouse. But
yeah. So. That's a good
point. Clementine doesn't until Lee kills the zombie inside.
Yeah, that's true. So that was harsh. But again, then the whole birth scene, you have the option to stay because, Luke and Kenny are arguing about leaving then to go to the town across the stream, that you see, or to wait a couple of days, I think is what it says. Is there a reasoning behind what you guys chose to do?
Well, just a quick one. I mean, this is the silliest choice in Telltale history. Did everybody hold the baby?
I did.
Yes.
I held the baby.
It's like, who did hold the baby?
I mean, honestly...
Was that even the stats? What was the number on that?
43.1% of players did not hold the baby.
Here's the reason.
Jesus.
Here's the reason.
My faith in humanity just went out the window.
Oh, hey now. Hey, not everyone is like baby centric. Like, I'm not a person that when I see a baby, I'm like, I need to hold it. Or I need to, like,
I don't hold babies.
The reason why I held her is because I have seen pictures like for other seasons and she's with the baby. So I thought, well, this will be a good bonding moment for the future.
Yeah, they sort of, yeah.
But anyways, but that's, you know.
But go ahead, Madeline, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, it's a Telltale game. So how many people played it through one way and then played it through again and made opposite choices?
That's true. Skew the statistics, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Everyone's like, well, I'm not going to hold the baby this time. I chose to wait a couple of days just to give Rebecca some time to rest that didn't matter. Anyways.
I don't know why, but I said, let's leave at dawn. And the other thing
was it at dawn, or was it like right then?
No, dawn. Dawn the next, okay. Rest the night and we'll leave at dawn.
Okay.
But the other thing that I was laughing at was after the whole thing with the deck collapsing and all that stuff, Jane goes to leave and she walks down a set of stairs that's connecting to the downstairs. And I'm like, what the? Wait a minute. Why did the zombies didn't know about the staircase?
That's fine.
I mean, it's like loophole.
I mean, there was a door, like a second roller door there. But
yeah, that was weird.
I don't know. We don't see where it leads
out to. Oh yeah, that's right. So did you guys? So with Jane leaving, did you expect it?
Yeah.
No, and I was very. That was last straw with Jane.
Really?
Yeah, that was like okay. Now you know, and now you know things are getting tough and to think of it, and you choose the bug out. Okay.
I mean, I don't know with everyone, but she mentions a lot while telling Clementine, like, I don't want to watch you fall to the group. I don't want you to, I don't want to watch you, in other words, like, die or, you know, so I'm going to leave. Do you think that that was her actual reasoning, or do you think that she was just leaving just because she was getting too into the group and she didn't want that?
I think it was she probably left because she might have probably thought that Luke was going to get feelings for her, and she didn't want to have to deal with that.
So you made it more personal. Okay.
I didn't think she cared about Luke at all. I think mostly she cared about Clementine. And mm-hmm. she knew if she stayed longer with Clementine that she wouldn't be able to leave without her. But she didn't care about any of the rest of them. But she also knew that Clementine is a liability.
Yep.
So she wanted to leave before she felt any closer to Clementine.
Well, the thing with Luke was she didn't care about, she didn't really care that much about Luke. So she left before he went and tried to make more out of it.
Even if he had tried to make more out of it, she wouldn't have had any problems leaving or dealing with him if he had tried to make problems. See exhibit dude that we left at outside of Carter's.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because he seemed kind of infatuated with her. So, yeah. No, I agree. I agree with Madeline. But it could be partly because of Luke as well. Frank?
Yeah. It's tough to have that person in a group, because the main reason to be in a group is to have this notion that everybody's got everybody else's back, and you know, you're functioning as a group.
Yeah.
Right. And that to have a person halfway in, halfway out of a group where you figure, well, if things get rough and we're suddenly facing a horde, is she gonna turn around and cut and run? You know?
Isn't there always someone in that?
That's always
like that, though. Like, I mean, there's always people with different agendas. Like, I don't think there's hardly any group. I think that everyone's in it for the exact same agenda. You're always going to have people that are more invested than other people, and sometimes you'll have people like Jane who are just in it for certain reasons. One of those, I think, you know, she was trying to look after Clementine for a bit, and then that got too hard for her, and like what Madeline was saying, and she hightailed it out of there. But I agree, it doesn't make for a solid group construction, but I was sorry to see it, though, no matter the future. Yes, Kevin.
She leaves after the they have the baby and everything, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it could have also been just what happened with Sarah, and reminding her of what happened with her own sister.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
I don't think that really even bothered her that much.
Yeah.
I think it was like after the baby was there, it was just the addition of now we have a siren with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is not a good situation.
Sure. For sure.
That's a good point.
Big old foghorn.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing to discuss really quick, since we are running over, but Kenny, with the baby, he was a little obsessive.
he's just looking for
another child.
Very protective, which is fine. But I think it's funny. There was one point, I think it was after Jane left or something, that he's holding the baby and he's just like arguing with Luke, and you know, poor Rebecca's like, give me the baby, like she's like yelling for Kenny, and she's like,
give me my baby.
And he's like, oh, sorry. Here you go.
Literally looking for anything to cling to.
He is, which is understandable, but yeah.
So we cross the river.
He's very broken. Yeah, so we cross the river.
And it becomes winter overnight.
Yes, it does. Well, I mean, like, it starts snowing when you're there at the thing. And it's funny because, like, someone just said it's going to start getting cold soon. oh, it's when you're discussing whether to leave, like, the next morning or 2 days from now. Right. And, like, mine was 2 days from now, so it seemed, but yeah, it starts snowing. Yeah. So anyway, so you're walking, you run into Arvo, and, he's acting like the nervous wreck that he is. And it turns out Arvo has some friends, whom I really hope aren't skinheads.
We're suddenly found.
I don't think Russians and skinheads are.
No, I think they're glossing. I mean,
they were a rough group,
and we suddenly find ourselves in a Quentin Tarantino Mexican standoff. Everybody's pointing guns. Yeah, everybody's pointing guns at each other.
It was tense. I mean, the cinematography there, like the cutting back and forth, did make it really, like, they did a good job with that. Like, it did make it really tense. I was like, oh, I have no idea what's going to happen. Like, I was, like, sitting there with, like, my hands on my headphones, like, ready to take them off in case, like, someone shot someone. And, yeah, it was intense. Clementine, I started feeling a little uneasy for, you know, because Rebecca was seeming really sick at this point. Like, she was coughing a lot.
She had the look.
She had the look. She looked really sick.
She was gray.
And she was, like, clutching onto the baby. And I was like, I don't know. Like, it's like, I don't feel right. Like, gosh, like, she asked for the baby. And so someone gives it back to her. She sits down. Because that's the whole point. Like, you stop for her to take a rest. And, yep. And because she's, like, almost fainting. She's almost just collapsing. Clementine looks over. It's obvious Rebecca has passed. The baby's still in her arms, which I'm not really sure how, but
because there's guns pointed at everyone else.
Then you can see Rebecca start. She's turning. She's turning into a zombie. Big choice. So you can either have, and it's pretty quick. You're already on edge from all these guns being pointed at everyone's faces and yelling in Russian. And so you can either have Clementine shoot Rebecca or you can yell for help, which I thought would be turn out totally different than what it did.
I yelled for help.
Did anyone decide for Clementine to shoot Rebecca?
As soon as I did it, I was like, oh, you're an idiot. That is what I would have done, like, just because the baby right there, I just reacted without thinking.
Yeah. Stanton, what did you choose?
I asked for help.
Yeah, so I thought yelling for help would, like, because the Russians did notice the baby, mm-hmm. and it seemed like noticing the baby, they started... Because at first they were trying, just for people that are listening, they were trying to, like, get you to drop your weapons so they could rob you. That was their whole point, which I'm like, they're not going to get hardly, we don't have anything. But they were wanting you to drop your weapons so they could rob you. But then who knows what else, you know, they could take you captive. Yeah. I don't know.
And they were accusing you of stealing.
Yes.
Arvo's drugs. Even though no matter what.
Even if you don't steal the freaking meds from Arbor earlier on, they still accuse you, and there's no option for Clementine to be like, I did not steal your freaking medicine.
Exactly. He does say that you were kind to him, though.
I had that option.
It says what?
Somehow, I was like, no, we didn't take your... I said, we didn't take your medicine. Yeah, and then they're still yelling, and then they're like, well, where's that woman that was with you? And I'm like, she left.
Oh, yeah.
I might have said that.
I might have been, like, 2 tens or something, because, like, I didn't notice it. I just saw, like, either blame Jane or, like, take the fault. Like, it was something like we felt like we didn't have a choice. Like, I don't know if it was a game glitch. I don't know. But, So Madeline, you said you shot Rebecca just because it was spur of the moment. Mm-hmm. That's what you would have done. Kevin,
baby.
Was it the same? Just like gut reaction?
I had already killed people in like other episodes. I already killed Cerritos right away in the episode, yeah. So I just went and I'm just gonna kill everybody.
You're trying to
As any serial killer will tell you, it only gets easier.
Stone Cold Clementine.
Stone Cold Clementine.
You did try and save Sarah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
She's kind of teetering. She's teetering on the edge. I chose to yell for help, which I thought, as I said, because the Russians noticed the baby, I thought for sure, like, if I yelled for help, the Russians would be like, oh, the baby, like, you know, some, you know, I don't know. Like, I, but then yeah. You yell for help a second later. Like, it's literally like, guys, Kitty turns and just shoots Rebecca without any, like, just like.
Yeah, immediate diagnosis. Like, says, like,
it is like just, it is yep. So, it is so quick. I mean, I'm not even sure that he even saw what was happening. Like,
yeah.
He literally turned and just shot Rebecca.
Yeah, that was fishy. Like,
wow.
That was fishy.
What just happened? I
was thinking the same thing you were, Steph, that yelling out help would maybe perhaps defuse the situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it did not. cause a distraction with the Russians.
It didn't work that way. Kenny was ready. Kenny was ready. But I don't know if it was like just a gut reaction of like, you know, because they were in that tense situation and he was just like finger on the trigger. Okay, bam, you know, anyways. But that shot kind of puts the Russians on edge and we black out at like gunfire everywhere. So like, you know, it's all over but the crying for the next episode. So
then guns are going off. God knows what's happening.
We don't know who got shot. We don't know who's getting shot, who's firing the guns. It's just chaos that we do not see because it's a black screen.
And no coming attractions.
Yeah.
And Arvo seems a little bit like the weenie of the group because they end up making fun of him for getting robbed by a little girl.
Yeah, I honestly think that
they send him out probably because he is the way that he is.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure that I...
What, so they're hoping that he gets eaten?
No, I think because no one expects... Exactly, like, no one expects him to cause any trouble. Like, they're like, oh, it's some bumbling kid with a limp. Like, what trouble was he going to cause?
Right. You don't send the big guy out with tattoos. Yeah.
That's why on the bridge, Luke's like, hey, Clementine, you go talk to the man with the gun. I'm going to stand back here.
Yes. Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That just occurred to me. You think maybe Arvo was, when you were first encountered Arvo, maybe he was stealing the drugs from the group.
Yeah.
And that's
very possible.
Yeah.
And that he got back and he probably told the group that the drugs got stolen. So
maybe.
But well, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good interesting way to look at it for sure. Yeah. Anyway, so we are way over. There was no coming attractions. Anything that you guys would hope to see as we finish out the season?
I didn't catch that. You broke up.
Oh, sorry. Anything you guys like hope to see as we finish out the season? Because next episode is episode 5. That's the end of the season. Nothing.
I wish it would make sense, but I don't think it is. I mean, season 1 ended with such a, you know, an emotional.
Yeah, that's true.
More raccoons.
I want the baby to live.
Yeah. But, you know.
Yes. Yes, I want the baby to live. Madeline probably wants Luke to live.
It would be nice.
What do you think the chances of Luke living through this season are, Madeline?
So it's... So I know what happens at the end of season 5.
Okay.
But I will tell you, what my thoughts were before I found that out.
Okay.
It was going to be Luke or Kitty. One of them will be alive and one of them will be dead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
I tend to agree with that. I think it's going to be Bonnie and Mike, who are so far been the unscathed of the group, being, you know, the ones. They're going to be the Omid and...
they're going to be the what?
What was the guy? Omid and...
Oh, okay. Oh, they're going to survive at the end.
Right. They're going to be the couple that walks off.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe hooks up with... or forges on with Clementine.
Yeah.
You know, sort of continuing the thread that there's only like two left walking at the end, you know, with Clementine.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very small group. Yeah. No, yeah. I could see that. I could see that as well. Yeah, I do hope the baby lives. I'm sure that there will be deaths aplenty. Because that's just how this game works. But, okay. Well, we'll go ahead and wrap that up then. Thank you guys for the chat. You can find us for those listening. We have, we're at thegamechat.net is our landing site where you can connect to different areas of game chat. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at thegamechat there. Yeah, we're also on Facebook as well as you can find the recordings on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher. Right?
Yep.
Stanton? Okay. I'm pointing at your name in Discord like you can see me. yeah. So anyway, so thanks for listening. Thanks for being here, guys, to chat. And next week, we will talk about episode 5. Talk about like our thoughts about the series, as well as give our final scores. So exciting. And for those in the group, on our Facebook page, we have the poll up for the next few games that we'll be doing. Hop on there, vote for your top 8 because there's a lot of them on there, guys. And then that will be the games that we'll cover for the next few weeks. And that's open until Friday, 12 o'clock Pacific time. Anyways. All right, guys. Bye-bye. Have a great week. Adios.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.